Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor, and I am so glad you're here. We've got a good show coming up for you today. It's a cornucopia of topics on the program. My mom is back on the show today. She's a little annoyed this time around, which is very unusual. So we want the scoop. We'll find out what's going on. And we will also talk about taking risks and facials. Both of those are not mutually exclusive, so we'll talk about both of those as well. And if money is a little tight, you're going to like this about the facials too, ladies. And yes, it's more specifically for the women demo, but it's good. Good tips. It's all coming up on the program today. And as we kick off, we have a few thank yous to offer. Thank you, thank you, thank you, and God bless you to Chris, our latest Podbean patron. Thank you so much. And I'm excited to share with you that I've started putting out, well, we're going to start putting out some extra content to our patrons. And last week was our first go around with this. We had an exclusive tip sheet from our guest, George Singarella. He joined us from Lanista International on the program a couple shows back, talking about situational awareness. And we also included a prayer for battle in this extra content that we shared to our Podbean patrons. And as we approach Lent, we have an effort to put out some daily devotionals, some extra things just for our patrons as a way to say thank you. So if you want to get in on that, it's super easy to do. All you need to do is sign up to be a Good Things Radio good friend of the program. And that means leaving a tip, a donation to say, hey, I think your show has merit and I like what you do. And so it helps support us so we can keep doing it. And you can do that by donating a dollar a month, $20 a month, a dollar a show, a one-time gift. You can up your donation, whatever you feel. It's easy to do. And you can keep the show going and growing that way. Also, in addition to the exclusive extra content, you will receive prayers every day by our family. That has been such a blessing for us personally to be able to lift up our Podbean patrons by name. And of course, you'll also get a shout out on the show too. So you can find us if you go to podbean.com and then look up Good Things Radio. You can also download the app and get all the new episodes that way, or shoot us an email. We love your feedback. You can do that at feedback@goodthingsradio.com. And as we jump in, if you'd kindly join me in prayer, today it's the Hail Mary as we lift up our hearts to Blessed Mother and ask for her kind intercession and assistance in our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And as we jump in, we've also got some feedback to share, this time from Kelly in California, getting all fancy, sending some voice feedback. Take a listen.
Hi, Brooke. My name is Kelly. I live out in Southern California, and I'm a little behind. I just finished, I think it's number 36, the episode where you share your experiences of going on your family retreat. And I just wanted to call and tell you how much I enjoyed that episode and how you could just hear how joyful that experience was for your family. But yet I was almost in tears by the end when you shared the Mother Teresa clip of how, as moms, we right in our homes have those that need so much love and attention. So just thank you so much for all that you do and for the time that you take each podcast. You reach out and share your heart with all of us. So thank you so much. I look forward to catching up. And just thank you so much. Hope you're having a great start to the new year. Bye, Brooke.
Wow. Well, thank you for that, Kelly. And if I'm not mistaken, you may have recorded that audio while you were out for a walk. That's what I'm sensing. Or while jogging in place or doing squats. But thank you so much. And that was episode 36, yes, that you referenced. It's called A Cloistered Home. And I actually need to go back myself and listen to that. Because, you know, sometimes when you are fresh in the honeymoon period off of a retreat, everything is just glowing and you're still kind of in that mode where it's contagious. And then life sets in and it wears off, sometimes quicker than others, and frustrations kick back in. So I may need a refresher myself. Thank you. And speaking of getting a refresher, the Arise Retreat is just over the horizon as I record this, just over a month away. And I am so excited. I've been in contact with Jennifer Willits, who, by the way, is having a procedure done this week, pretty painful, and would just ask for your prayers to lift her up. I know it's something she would very much appreciate. But we've been skipping ahead to that age-old question, what are you going to wear? What are you packing for the retreat? And I honestly haven't thought much about it, just in, you know, the planning and all of the details and making sure the special touches are there, other than I am sure that my skirted leggings are going to make an appearance, but not my Oscar pants, as much as I love those. But I think the reason I share that is because it's definitely about comfort and being practical. So don't worry about making any fashion statement, something that you can maybe nap in, yet hike in. And of course, we're going to have chapel time too, but that's kind of the idea. No worries, just something that you feel comfortable in. Also, we received some good news that Root Candle will be blessing every woman at the retreat with a tin travel candle. That is pretty fantastic. Thank you to Root Candle. They are a very well-respected worldwide company that just happens to be hubbed right here in Northeast Ohio nearby. So a big thanks to them as well. And on a side note, speaking of candles, I am realizing the benefits and blessings of candles like never before as we have redone our dining room.
It's Brooks House. Ow. It's Brooks House.
All right, come on in. It looks different. So in the last year, we moved into a new house and we're still trying to figure all that out. And it's, you know, just a little bit overwhelming. But what we did do first, before anything else, was buy off of Craigslist a dining room set. I was so excited that we had a dining room now. We've never had one before. I thought, I'm going to teach my kids manners. They're going to be like little Lord Granthams and really great with the etiquette. Maybe somehow this will change, you know, them thinking they can burp at the table or something, which we don't do, but you know, boys sometimes. So we got this dining room set, but really it hasn't been used. And the other everyday area that we eat only fits like four people. So although there's eight in our family right now with our foreign exchange student, we can never eat together as a family, which if you know our family, that's huge. No matter what we have going on, we always try to at least gather and have one meal together. That's dinner. As one. And usually people are up on the bar stools there at the island, and then, you know, other people are at the table. So we said, this is just silly. It's not working. So what we did was strip all the wallpaper off in the dining room, and that was a new project. I've never done that before. I hope to not do it again, Lord willing. But it feels good, you know, when you finally are able to get it all done, and then we painted it. And so what we did was take our big farmhouse table, and that had been in the basement. We moved it upstairs. I'm so glad in my husband's wisdom, he talked me out of selling it because I thought, we don't need that thing. But we ended up selling our dining room set at a profit. So I was so grateful. Thank you, as my mom says, to the shopping angels. So through that, we were able to get a buffet and some shelves and try to make it a little bit more of a practical space. So every day our family can go in there and eat. And I wanted to tell you that because there's a fantastic website that I have been so inspired by. And if you are on a budget, and even if you're not, but I'm assuming you are, most of us are, it's a great website to do-it-yourself projects and remodel and just really good ideas. It's kind of like its own Pinterest, but it's called Young House Love. It's younghouselove.com, and I'm going to pull it up right now, but it's this great young couple that bought their first house, and it was a fixer-upper. It's kind of like an HGTV fixer-upper show in blog form. And they realized, wow, we really love this. And so they bought another house, and they've been in this one for a while, but they take you through every single room and each project that they've done, picture by picture, from little things like a laundry room renovation, which is not really, it could be really on a shoestring budget. And also, let's see, what else does she have here? Painting your garage doors, how to do a gallery wall, how to make baskets, pull out basket drawers in the kitchen, to making wooden play pastries and treats for kids, you know, like the Melissa and Doug toys. You can make those homemade, to adding pantry and storage function. Really, really good information and tips. And a lot of outdoor stuff too, like how to make a deck gate and update your outdoor eyesore areas if you've got that in your yard. And you realize pretty quickly that this can really become a huge hobby. I guess hobby, if you want to say that. But it's been good. It's been nice. So if you're in that mode as well, I wanted to just plug that website. It's younghouselove.com for some great tips and little accessories that add a big punch, like candles.
Mother, there is no other like mother, so treat her right.
So Mom joins us on the show again today, and I have to make mention of that little intro there because I was trying to find the right song, Mom, for your feature to introduce you. And I'm thinking, who sings that, you know, just conveys Mom? And I there's Mr. T. So I don't know. I think it's just going to be temporary, but that's actually a little known rap that Mr. T did is an ode to moms. It's really funny. You can find it on YouTube. But for now, it's your little signature intro. Are you okay with that?
I am. And it's such a throwback to the boys, Patrick and Matthew, in their growing up years with their dad watching the A-Team. So it's very much a part of the fabric of the kids being little.
Well, and Murdoch and all of that. So since we're actually on the topic of production elements on the show, you're a little irritated, and I didn't know this. All these months you've been listening to Good Things Radio, and every time the show opens, you're in a bad mood because you don't like the intro. And I never knew. There's something in that opening montage that jumps out at you and rubs you the wrong way. I'm so glad that you told me instead of just saying, forget that, I'm not listening anymore. But could you share what you told me?
There's a lot of energy, which I think is important and wonderful as far as the intro. But there was just one phrase, and I didn't know who was doing it because I didn't understand all the components that went into it. But the thing that really got my goat was when she said...
You said that with feeling.
I know. she says, I'm just a housewife who figured it out. And it's like, oh. And every time I heard that part, it's like, how can I not hear that segment? And I don't know why I didn't think to tell you earlier.
But you said that's arrogant, like it was a literal thing. Like,
yes,
proclaiming.
That's the way I felt.
Okay. I'm glad you told me, because I don't know how many people are thinking that that's a literal thing. It's supposed to be tongue-in-cheek. And just the background of how that phrase came to be, it is from Susan Powder, if you remember, I think in the 90s, and she was a diet and exercise guru with short blonde hair. And it was in one of the infomercials, and that's what she says. I'm just a housewife who figured it out. And it's a joke, you know, for us, it's like, Lord, if we could all say that. But normally on a daily basis, we certainly don't. And so in the montage of other clips like Oprah's Wow, 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 and everything else we have in there, it just kind of flowed. And now I'll never look at it the same again. I feel terrible. But it's hard because, you know, there's a sonic cadence when you hear a montage and your brain is used to hearing the next element. So I almost feel bad to take it out now because your brain's expecting it. Unless in your case, it's a trigger of anger. But I have to go back and see, because we put that together way back. I had pulled all the elements. Greg Willits, I think, was kind enough to put it together then. And so I'll just have to see where that file is. But at least you know now.
Yes.
Okay. Are you able to hear it, or is it always? It's probably not. It's going to bother you anyway.
I just said that every time I heard it, it was like nails on a chalkboard.
Okay. Well, thanks for that. But I appreciate that. I needed to hear that. And it's funny about the power of words, because I can remember, this is the silliest thing, but I was running in the jogging stroller at the park. There's a big trail, and I had both babies, and they were heavy. So this was last year, so maybe they were 3 and 4. And I was huffing and puffing, and there was another mom there, and she was just standing there waiting for somebody. And I started, you know, rolling by her, and she's like, wow, you're awesome. You go, girl. And I said, oh, well, I'm
not done yet, or I'm not finished yet. And you know how when you're just passing someone, you only have a second to say something? And then after I passed, I thought, oh no, I think, like, what if it came out as, well, I'm not done yet, instead of, like, I don't know if I can finish, you know?
Yes.
So it's funny because I think you just, that's, I guess, the work of the Holy Spirit, whether it's texting or email or something like this, you just hope that people know what you mean, but it's important not to assume.
Yes.
So that's a good reminder. Okay, thank you for that, Mom. And, you know, I also wanted to talk about the retreat because you have some exciting news to share. Do you want to spill the beans on that? You're going to be doing interpretive dance at the retreat? No, you're going to the retreat.
I am. Gratefully, gladly. And one of the interior triggers for me that is delight, happiness, all of the joy buttons happens.
Joy buttons.
Yes. When people, for an experience like this, that you know it will be a one-time gathering of those specific people. So that really makes it exciting because you get to interact. Why are you laughing?
You're laughing. Cracked me up. Sorry. I'm sorry. Do you want to do interpretive dance?
No.
Okay. I seem so delighted.
But I could find somebody.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Not this time.
Okay. But you're going to be there.
Yes.
And we're excited.
Yes.
Because we're all going to come together. Okay. Sorry. We got the giggles here. So in preparation of that, we went to a retreat. I'm not looking at you. I'm not looking at you. We went to a retreat on Friday at a local church. Okay. I thinking of something serious right now. We went to a retreat on Friday. And it was really good because it was just a couple hours. It was an evening, but we got to go with each other. So it was nice because I think I had some extra ideas that I thought, ooh, this would be good for our Arise retreat. And specifically, you and I were blessed to have this time together and hear the message of the speaker, the retreat master for the evening. And could you zero in a little bit on that and what you took away personally and how that might prepare the hearts of, well, of everybody listening, man or woman coming to the retreat or not?
The title of the retreat was Spending Some Time at Martha's House, and then one of the invitation lines was, how do you live a merry life in a Martha world? And I think all of us, probably as adults, have asked that question, and I know that Brooke has addressed it on the show. Many people in spiritual works, old and new, have addressed it. But it's always good in different settings to look at it from a different perspective. And that's what Sister Cheryl did.
Well, and she had the theme of true self, all self, and it was a great way in which she started in saying, and I don't remember if it's Thomas Merton, I think it is, that she referenced how
she sure did.
A tree doesn't try to be anything else but a tree. You know, a tree is there and beautiful and rooted where it was planted by God and doesn't look around and say, oh, I wish I was a bush, or oh, look at all these birds, or look at that little grass, you know, and how we are the only ones that do that. And the false self, which I think we all can probably see ourselves in our adolescent years very easily, and some of us still holding on to that. And because I think it's natural, is the false self is what doesn't exist. That's not real. Its non-existence kills you on a daily basis. I'm reading from my notes. It is who you're afraid you are. It's all the stuff that doesn't matter about you, but what society says is most important. And I think what she said that I really appreciated is look at yourself in the mirror of God, not in the critical lens that you may see yourself, your shortcomings, and this constant track that we might have in our heads of our shortcomings or our guilt or things that we are really hurt by that we can't let go. See ourselves in the mirror of God, God's mercy, and we are so beautiful, you know, in God's eyes. And I really appreciated that. And she has a book by James Finley. She recommended Merton's Palace of Nowhere. But what was your takeaway from this. I like how she said, you know, when she was an adult and really came back into her faith, it was like God, if she was a home, God rewired her house. He allowed her to see herself as she truly is, not in the way that she was comparing herself or, you know, second guessing. And I thought that was a great takeaway, too.
I agree. And her, I think, 26 years of teaching high school chemistry or physics or in that line. And then she said when she started to teach in a different way, it was so much more difficult as far as the retreat and having people, not necessarily always teenagers, to look within and to identify how they are looking at themselves and how that attitude or perspective walks out in their life with something that's not authentic. And so it was good to hear her own perspective as well as the way that she set it up for us to examine our own thoughts along the way.
Yeah, and I wrote down a couple more quotes. She said, Thomas Merton said, I love this, "We are the ecstasy of God. And if you don't know what God sees when he looks at you, you don't know God." That's pretty powerful. If you don't know what God sees when he looks at you, you don't know God. And what keeps the false self alive is feeding it. As we feed into it, that keeps it alive. And of course, that's not a good thing. You have a really neat thing you brought about risks. And that's part of true self, is we're more apt to take risks, or what the world would perceive as that, when we know who we follow, who's calling us and who catches us. So would you mind sharing that?
I don't know who wrote this. It was in a bulletin maybe a couple decades ago, but I liked it so much. It's called Risks. To laugh is to risk appearing the fool. To weep is to risk appearing sentimental. To reach out for another is to risk involvement. To expose feelings is to risk exposing your true self. To place your ideas, your dreams, before a crowd is to risk their loss. To love is to risk not being loved in return. To live is to risk dying. To hope is to risk despair. To try is to risk failure. But risks must be taken, because the greatest hazard in life is to risk nothing. People who risk nothing gain nothing. They may avoid suffering and sorrow, but they cannot learn, feel, change, grow, love, live. Only a person who risks is free.
You know, that's really good. Thank you, Mom. Because when you hear the word risk, I think in the day-to-day schedule I have, I might think of it in the context of a businessman, you know, taking a capital venture, an entrepreneurial, you know, leap, or a refugee, and they're risking everything to save their family or to have a better future. But I also think it's important to apply that to our daily lives. Take a risk and, you know, go out of your comfort zone, reach out to somebody that you don't know how they feel about you, or you know they're having a hard time, but you're not that close to them. Is that something that you try to live by, or it just comes naturally when you listen to the Holy Spirit?
I don't think that type of response to God's invitation to reach out, as I really encapsulate in the Magnificat, Mary going immediately to the hill country. It is, it's overcoming maybe your shyness or your questioning as to how you'll be received, whether you'll say it right, all those questions that, you know, immediately go through your mind. And so it's a day by day, step by step, because, you know, you could be in the same store and think the same type of maybe greeting or exchange with someone just in a friendly way, and it would be taken two different ways. So just say a quick prayer before you start, and just offer it in love. If it's received, fine. If it isn't, fine. But you did your part.
You know, it's interesting because I think in some ways it goes back to false self, where we're worried about what people are going to think of us, too. Yes. And I have to admit, in a way, I struggle with this because I'm an introvert, so it doesn't come easy to me. And it's not because of I want to have people think a certain way of me. It's just, it's hard. It doesn't come natural. One-on-one is good. I could talk to someone one-on-one all day, but a large crowd or a party or something like that, or if you are out in a store and you see a group of people from, I might go the other way, but I think that's where you sit, you know, listening to the Holy Spirit, and even that for each one, risk means different. It's what God's calling us. Now, when it comes to that real self part, I think taking care of ourselves is a component of that. Valuing the one and only body and mind, God gave us enough to be good stewards of our bodies. And I think in, you know, the first part of the year, that's a very much top of mind. Yes. And I mean, Oprah's doing that Weight Watchers. Have you seen her commercials?
No.
Oh, man. I might have to do it because she's so good. There's only one Oprah. The aspect that I wanted to talk about is, you know, we have ways that we take care of ourselves spiritually through reading, through prayer, through receiving the graces of the sacraments. Also, the physical aspect, we cannot neglect that. And I was talking to a friend of mine recently, and she said that, when in her family there's a component of depression, exercise is such a good thing because it releases endorphins. And I also think the same thing about women and taking care to take a bath and, you know, do things that make us feel feminine and good. And one of the things that I've just started is giving myself an at-home facial once a week. And at the salon, I love it and I would recommend, but it's expensive. It can be pricey. So that's like a splurge every now and then, once a year maybe. But I wanted to share this really awesome at-home facial because it's really low cost and it's super high in reward. And the nice thing is when I do have one of those like black charcoal exfoliating masks, no one comes near me. My kids, as many times as they've seen it, oh, mom, and they stay in their rooms or do whatever they're doing. So it's nice. It's like a little retreat time, that alone. So here's some tips. This is the at-home facial. Here's what you need. You need a mild cleanser. And you sell Avon, so maybe you could recommend a kind.
Do you have a new brand?
Yes, but it depends on what you're looking for because there's a scrub and there's different areas in there.
Okay, so a mild cleanser, but again, these are all low cost. You can get Neutrogena at the store, no problem. Exfoliant, that's important too. You can make your own. You need clay or a deep pore cleansing mask. They have these really nice ones at, you know, Sephora or Ulta. You can probably get them at Target too, where they are kind of, it's almost like a soft cloth and it's saturated in an aloe or something, and it's the form of your face, so you just put it over your face. I also have one from Origins, and it's a charcoal one, and charcoal is supposed to pull things out. So anyway, so you need a mask, you need a hydrating or antioxidant rich mask, a serum, a moisturizer, and an avocado pit. Okay, so here's what you do. You cleanse your skin for 30 seconds to a minute. If you have if you have access to the Clarisonic, we've talked about that on a previous show. It's a great deep cleaning brush. Okay. Otherwise, don't worry about that. But if you can, use that. If you have access to a face steamer available at most local drugstores, this is great. But what I've done is I have boiling water. I put it in a bowl and the steam is just enough, or, you know, open up the dishwasher after it's finished on the dry cycle, because that will completely open up your pores then. So you've got that, the cleanse aspect. Apply the exfoliant on the skin and gently rub it for 30 seconds. Leave it on the skin for additional 30 seconds to a minute and then rinse with warm water. And again, the temperature is important here because dermatologists will tell you, you don't want it hot, you don't want it too cold. So warm is good. Mask number one, apply a thin layer of the deep pore cleansing or clay mask and leave it on until it becomes hard or according to the instructions. That's coming off with a warm washcloth. Mask two, that should be gentle and hydrating to the skin. So first you've got the deep cleaning pore mask and then the hydrating one. And these, again, do not have to be expensive. Couple dollars at the store. And then apply a serum. Pat it gently into the skin. It is ready to receive that and will really absorb it then. And then finally apply moisturizer. Use the avocado pit to gently massage the moisturizer into the skin. The massage will bring blood flow to the skin and allow for better penetration of your moisturizer. There you go.
Love it.
Good tips.
Yes.
Have you had a facial lately?
No.
Oh. We should have a girls' night.
Yes, let's do that.
Okay, that sounds good. So there you go. I will post that somewhere if I send out a newsletter, because it's easy, but you're not going to remember it just if you hear the tips. Anything else to add, Mom?
Sounds good. But I would just add a little footnote in taking care of yourself. It is the first degree of healing, something that sometimes isn't known, that when we pray for healing, there's a difference between healing and curing. So I won't get into that now. But the very first degree of healing is to take care of this wonderful, miraculous body that we've been given. So you're on target.
Okay. Thank you, Mom. I appreciate that. So as we close the show today, I'd like to end with a prayer that, as odd as it might sound, actually ties in with 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. It tells us, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, what you just referenced, what we just talked about, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And we try, but we all can easily get into a funk, spiritually, physically. So I want to conclude with a parting prayer that reminds us of the words that were spoken by the Roman centurion to Jesus when he begged the Lord to heal his sick servant in Matthew 8. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word and my soul shall be healed. In the Eucharist, he comes not to our house, but to our soul, through the roof of our mouths into the abode of our spirit. So this is our closing prayer today. I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, written in 1926. Lord Christ, I wish I could offer you a reasonably clean and swept house to dwell in, but I can't. I can say, and know the meaning of, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but you are already there, living among the once flourishing idols. The floor is dirty, and at times the room is airless, even for me. I am ashamed of your presence there. Yet you slept in a cave and on a donkey's back at night under the desert stars. So if I can't change your accommodations, let me rejoice all the same that you are present. I must believe strongly, Lord, that I can't question this, that you are at home with sinners. And my greatest sin, Lord Christ, is that I don't want to be a sinner, nor do I easily accept it. Still, the evidence is overwhelming. But hope is like a green shoot in the midst of an airless, disordered world, and that hope comes from your Spirit. I rest in that hope, Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And a P.S. here for book reads. As I was reading that prayer, it just made me think about this, but the book, Dante's Inferno, I don't know if you read this, Mom. I'm sure you did in your religious formation, but I never did. And I was feeling sick. You and I have both been under the weather with all these colds going around. And so I'd gone to the library. They had it there along with a study guide, and I got it. And I have every night been sleeping with my night light on and holding a crucifix. I would say a book recommendation, but with a caveat that really the study guide is very helpful, because it's one of those where it feels like homework otherwise, but the study guide's been very helpful. And it really makes you stop and take a second look at the gravity of our sins that we commit every day. There hasn't been anything in recent history, I think, that has scared me so much, but also opened my eyes so much at the consequences of my actions and how I might not see the eternal implications of that right now. But it's we're all sinners and imperfect, and thank God this is the Jubilee year of mercy. And so I keep thinking about that as well. And it's not meant to be an additional, you know, book of Revelation, but rather augmented. And it was just his, you know, vision and things, but it's so good. And have you been reading anything? A quick takeaway, because this next program that we do, I kind of want it to be a Mardi Gras / entering into Ash Wednesday program. So we're beginning to ramp up because Lent is coming very quickly. And as we prepare for that, do you have any tips book-wise?
Well, not exactly book, but the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes is February 11th. So soon we'll begin the novena in preparation for that. I would recommend that.
And we'll look forward to your interpretive dance, should you choose to surprise us at the retreat.
All right.
Thank you. If you'd be so kind, we humbly ask you to leave a review on iTunes. Oh, dear listener, if you enjoy the show, please let us know. And you know what? I had a big thank you. We We had a great new review from one of our listeners. I think his name is Matthew. I'll have to just insert that in the next podcast. But thank you so much for that review. And it also, when you do that, tells Apple, hey, there's a little show out there that's worth people checking out. So I hope you'll do that. And as always, we love to hear from you. Feedback@goodthingsradio.com is how you can reach out. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studios, for his dynamic skills and quick work as always. Mark is a producer extraordinaire, wears many hats, and you can reach him and find out more at cumminghomestudio.com. Thank you so much for being a part of episode 43 of Good Things Radio. And thanks to my special guest, Mom, today. God bless you. Until next time, friends. Thanks for being a part of Good Things Radio.